I have to take a few moments to introduce our speaker today, Elder Leslie Bennett. He recently transferred to us from the Caribbean, and God is working something in our midst, because last Sabbath we had the youth preach, and now we have an elder of an elder preach. Amen? So we will be keen to listen to what God is doing today. Amen? And our brother's going to preach on the seven great statements of Christ made on the cross. So that's a powerful message. If you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, we'll have our scripture reading for today. Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 26. When you get there, say amen. Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 26. Amen. If you have it now, say praise the Lord. Amen. You either have it or you don't want to praise the Lord. So it reads, "Now as they led him away, they laid hold on a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will they be done in the dry?' There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.'" May God bless his word.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure for this old man to stand before you this morning. Looking down from here is spectacular. Amen. You can see the ladies in different dresses, the gentlemen there in different suits. Thank God this morning that we have found time to be here. I cannot recall that my niece, Shirley Bennett, she is my first brother daughter. My parents had 8 children. 5 boys and 3 girls. I'm the only one that is alive. Don't that is something? September round the corner, I'm 99 years old.
Amen.
Is that spectacular?
Amen. Praise God.
I tell you something. My niece, she found it proper, dear proper, to remove me from my estate in St. Mary, Jamaica, to live with her in Troy, New York. This is the second holidays. She says to me, "I'm not going to send you back home." I said, "What?" I said, "No, something." But she found favor in me.
Amen.
That I'm capable. Because what happened? She came down to Jamaica, and she found it deemed proper to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Sister Langley baptized her in Jamaica. Now she's a staunch member of your church.
Amen.
May my niece stand up? Is Auntie Shirley here?
Amen.
She is not even a niece. She is a lovely lady in my respect.
Amen.
So sometimes she gets cross on me, you know. But I know what I'm doing. It's not easy for a 99 years old man in these conditions. I'm going to give you a laugh. When Auntie Shirley make my bed, I don't give her any trouble to make it again. I get up and make it myself. Maybe I spread it better than she. But I could recall in the war, the commanding officer says, if I the best bed that make up and the best building that clean, I give you a day off. Put it in my brain. This morning, as I do stand before you, this is the second time I climb this pulpit. And if I do well, Pastor Landry will give me a second chance on the pulpit. My sermon this morning, prevent you have heard it before. If you do, this is a reminder. And reminder is remember. When I was a boy, I remember that my father was a Baptist, and he used to take us to Sabbath Sunday school. One day, my recent recitation was, as I am a little boy, stand before you now, I tremble in each knees. So be careful, when I look at the crowd down there, don't believe me, I may have trembled. But God is with me.
Amen.
And when God says you must do it.
Yes.
He command and once he don't say it again. When before his ascension, he took his 12 disciples, he went up to the foot of Mount Olive, and there he laid down his foundation there. Going into all the world, preach my gospel, and I will work with you, heal the sick, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk.
Amen.
The disciples don't do as what? Because there was a death and they could not raise the dead. Christ says, I will be with you too. And Christ was there to do the job. So the disciples, they were not ashamed. This morning, I am not ashamed to own my Lord.
Amen.
Nor to defend his cause. Maintain the honor of his and glory of his cross. And because of the cross this morning, I am alive and well.
Amen.
And my sermon tonight, today is going to base upon the 7 great statements he said on the cross when I was on the tree. How many times you would forgive your brothers and sisters? Tell the preacher, how many times we would forgive your brothers and sisters? How many times, church?
7 times.
Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
How many times?
Whatever they ask.
7 times, 7?
Yes.
70 times 7? If your brothers and sisters trespass against you, there is forgiveness in the cross. My sermon today is based on the seven great statement that Christ made on the cross. The cross is which Jesus died for all to meet our needs. No matter what your needs is, no matter what you got up this morning, you said so much, no. He says, I will meet your needs. Amen. And what he says you must do, you'll find yourself in the right place this morning. The central figure in history is Jesus Christ, at the center of all God's dealing with us. In the cross on which he died, Jesus came into this world. He died on the cross for you and I. As Jesus hung upon the cross, he spoke seven times. These seven great statements cover the seven basic needs of mankind. Everything that you and I need today are in the seven statements of Jesus Christ on the cross and in the cross. Forgiveness is in the cross. I recall a story with the prodigal son, you shall hear. You know it very well. The father forgave that boy. Hallelujah. How many times, a father would forgive that boy? Yeah? Take all his goods. He went away. Then he returned back. Yet still, the father received him. What a forgiveness, father. Right. Jesus' first statement on the cross was one of forgiveness. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. Isn't that wonderful to know there is forgiveness in the cross? Amen. Jesus forgave the disciples who forsaken him, fled into the night. You know something? The disciples, they didn't know that Jesus was watching them. So they didn't fled in the days, they fled in the night. But Jesus was watching them. Hallelujah. He spoke that, all right. Jesus came and entered the world, died for Christ, you and I. Jesus hung upon the cross. He spoke seven times. The seven great statements cover the seven basic needs of mankind. Everything that you and I need today are in the seven statements of Jesus Christ on the cross. There is forgiveness this morning. Jesus' first statement. He said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. As we say, Luke 23:34. Isn't that wonderful to know there is forgiveness in the cross? Jesus forgave the disciples who forsaken him and fled into the night. He forgave the evil ones who drove him to the cross. He forgave the Roman soldiers who nailed his hands and feet to the cross. That same forgiveness here is for every person in this church today. There's forgiveness for every sin you and I ever committed. We are serving this morning a God of forgiveness. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the word of Jesus. If you this morning forgive your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse it from all unrighteousness. And brothers and sisters, if you have anything in your heart for your brothers and sisters this morning, lay at Jesus' feet. Yes. You're free.
Yes.
Because you see, to reach my age, I'm free. Mm. My niece have taken me to the bank yesterday to do some business. And the pretty clerk was watching me. And then I was watching her too. And my niece says, "You know who my uncle is? September come here, be 99. He says, "Sir, give me the recipe." I said, "The recipe is in the Bible. If you forget everything that you considering upon, just remember what the preacher says. Put it down at Jesus' feet. Amen. You never look old. Is sin make us old? Isn't it right? The more you sin, and the more you get wrinkled, because you lay your burden, and he says, put it down.
Yes.
And if Jesus said, put it down, do it. That's the reason why I look like this today. I put it down.
Amen.
Amen. I will never take it up again.
Yes.
If you carry a load, heavy load, I carry and says, "Can I help you?" And I take that load off you. You walk freely.
Yes.
Would you take it up again? Would you remember that somebody is going to help you? Brothers and sisters, your burden must be laid at the feet of Jesus. Jesus says, "There's forgiveness. He forgave the evil ones that drove him to the cross. He forgave the Roman soldiers who nailed his hands and feet to the tree." That same forgiveness here is for every person today. There's forgiveness for sin. Every sin committed, we are serving this morning a God of forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess our sin, faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turn your Bible to John 1:9, please. John 1:9. What is that, please?
This one? That one?
Can you read it for me?
Yeah.
John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "That was the true light, which is light to every man coming into the world."
Amen. Second, there is salvation. As Jesus hung on the cross that day, beside him there were two thieves who were also being crucified with him. One of them looked over, saw Jesus. He then recognized that he was the Son of God and said, "Forgiveness." Well, he recognized and was the Son of God and asked for forgiveness. Well, the other one and the left hand, we got to be careful of this left hand, okay? And you might ask me the reason why. The goat will be on the left, the sheep will be on the right. Hello? Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay.
25.
Okay. He recognized was the Son of God. He asked forgiveness while he had a teeth was mocking Jesus. And the left hand was mocking Jesus. This other thief first turned to Jesus and said, "Master, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Immediately, Jesus pardon him. Said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Don't this pray? Don't this wonderful?
Yes.
Today you shall be with me in paradise. And if you turn to Luke 23rd, 32, 43, it will give you the essence of that peace. Luke 23rd, 32, 43. Could you read it for me?
Luke chapter 23, verse 32, it says, there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they were crucified. They crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen. That morning, that thief were doomed to die. But that evening, he was forgiven and cleansed. That morning, he was chained between two soldiers. But that evening, he was walking with Jesus in paradise. Isn't it beautiful? Amen. There is salvation in the cross.
Yes.
There is suffering. A lot of us this morning, we are suffering, don't we? You may not look beautiful, you may look, but you are suffering. You are suffering, there is help in time of suffering. Give it to Jesus. If you give it to Jesus, there is suffering in the cross. Imagine those big Roman nails driven into his hands. Imagine the pain he endured while they were striking him with the whip upon his back so that we might be healed. Jesus was expressing that suffering must be before he returned when he said, I am thirst. John 19:28 tells us, Jesus to his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. Mark 8:34. There is a price to be paid when you and I follow Jesus, because the world is going to come against us. And the devil, Satan, going to try to stop you from serving God. Jesus said to you and I this morning, follow me, and you and I can do it. Amen?
Amen.
Let us keep on looking to God as our source. He will bring us through our suffering. Now what he says, if you and I put our trust in him this morning, be confident. But the devil is Satan. Once you and I are determined to follow God, son Jesus, we're going to a problem. That's the time where our problem comes. A Christian has problem more than the man out there. I tell you so. That doesn't like Seventh-day Adventists. Seventh-day Adventists, we are too strict. Every Sabbath, we are in church. But I tell you this morning, if it hadn't been for this crucified Jesus, and you go out to the market this morning, if it Moses' days, you would die for hunger. You would have died for hunger. You see, disobedient. I tell you, brother, it was one of the most striking thing that the children of Israel did not believe Moses. But God already told Moses what to do. Tell them must pick up sufficient to serve them in the camp. But if you go out on my Sabbath, you're not going to find nothing. And they tried it. And when they went out, there was pure worms. Don't they, brother?
Yes.
Read the Bible.
Yes.
There were pure worms. There was nothing to eat the sun. You must obey God.
Yes.
If you don't obey God, when he returns, you're going to be, that's what he says, you're going to be flagged with not one stripe, many whips. So we have to, this morning, as we come to Jesus, let us follow the Bible. The Bible says from that moment, okay, sorry there. There are two. There's love. Jesus on the cross cried, oh, sorry there, sorry. Sorry there. As Jesus hung on the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we can find that in Matthew 27:46. He endured separation from God. He reconciled to him, suspended between heaven and earth. Jesus reached up, took a hand of God, then took the hand of sinners. With his last breath, he pulled God together. The cross was Jesus' reason for that you and I might be saved. When Jesus went to the cross, he fulfilled his destiny and he reconciled man to God. There is reconciliation in the cross. There's reconciliation in the cross. Because Jesus has suffered all for you and I, that you must obey his word. His word this morning is a lamp to our doorstep and a guide to our pathway. He's been telling us right now, this is the way, walk therein. he never will let us. He has directed his people because he says, follow me. And if Jesus says, follow me, you can do it. There is victory in the cross. One of the statements Jesus made from the cross, it is finished. Then 19:30. This word tell us there is victory in the cross. Jesus finished the work that he came to this earth to do. With his word, Jesus built a bridge, hung it across the chasm that separates man from God. Since that time, people have been walking across that bridge into the waiting arms of God. My friend, there is victory for you and I this morning in the cross.
Amen.
At this moment of his death, Jesus showed us there is victory in the cross. He hung his head and his breast and said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. Luke 23:46. At that moment his spirit went out of his body, up into the waiting arms of God. There's life after death. My brothers and sisters, we are living a nice life here now. But when you are in the box. Oh, what a pretty dead. But there is something there which does not belong to you and I. Namely, when Jesus says, come let us meet man, was there any people in the herd? Jesus says, come let us meet man. Pastor, who was he talking to? Is someone, it was in his head. Because there was nobody in the herd when Jesus said, come let us meet man. Look here, sir. He took the clay and it rolled it up like a little dumpling. Then punched your nose and he stooped down and he breathed like a balloon person. And you began, he saw the began to, he said, well, it is good. And he began to put on your hand, he put on your everything on you. Then, first of all, the breath that you breathe is not ours. Amen. It's lent to us.
Yes.
Illustration. The illustration. You bought a balloon. The balloon is flat. If you don't blow into the balloon, it never rains, don't you? But it's your breath in the balloon. And if you overblow the balloon, whoa, you blow, it burst. But Jesus, the Son of God, Father, put sufficient breath in your body.
Amen.
That when I breathe now, but it's lent to us. It's like a carpenter and his tools. That came to lend out his tools to his friend. There is a job came out. There's no tool to work. That came to lose because he lent out his tool to another friend. Hello? Are you following me? That is the word of God. You must be ready. Don't tell me get ready this morning. He says you must be ready. Illustrations. You going to your holidays and you're going on a journey there. Your car, you're going to drive your car with your phone. You don't put look at your spare tire. You're going on a journey. You have to be ready because at any time trouble strike.
Yes.
That's the reason why the devil is like it follows you, and because you haven't been ready, he punches your car. But if you were ready, you would have the spare tire in your car. So you would have fooled the devil right there. Because he was following you, knowing that you haven't got a spare tire punctured. So don't bother say, I'm going to get ready. You have got to be ready. Because it's not going to be, it's not going to wait for you. That is why he says, you must continue in his worship. Read his Bible daily, so that you can occupy your time. You go to your work. Instead you talk your house business, you talk about Jesus. Say, listen to me, the soon coming king is at the door. And he says, behold, I come quickly. That is it. He says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to pay you and I account to your work. I don't want to stray from my service. At the moment of his death, Jesus showed us there's a victory in the cross. He hung his head and his breast and said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. Hello?
Yes.
Because the spirit have animals, goes there. But your spirit goes back to God. Hello? Do you know that animals have no sin? We hear the tree falls this morning, there must it lies until judgment take its course. And if you die in your sin, there's no resurrection. Remember that. You die in your sin, there's no resurrection. You're like the beast that perished, Pastor. There's no resurrection for a dog that dead. You buried it there. We're already gone back to the earth. But your spirit gone back to God for retaliation. Because what happened, he says, as the first trump of God sound, your mortal body shall become what? From mortal to mortality. Because you have got to give an account for every deed you have done on the face of the earth.
Yes.
Nothing has been hidden from God. At the moment he's dead, Jesus showed us there is victory in the cross.
Yes.
He hung his head and his breast and said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. Luke 23:36 tells us, at that moment his spirit went out of his body, up into the waiting arms of his Father. There's life after death, eternal life beyond this world. There's security. Very smart. You have insured your car. If a car made an accident, insurance. No difference. Christ insured you by shedding his blood on that tree.
Hallelujah.
You're insured this morning. Don't depress it.
Yes, sir.
You're insured.
Yes.
I know I'm insured.
Amen.
If I die right now, I'm insured.
Amen.
Because I know where I'm going.
Yes.
So there's security in the cross. At the moment, there is also repentance that the cross is real today. I will never forget when I was 18 years old. I have left high school. I went to work in Central America at the Panama Canal. But I never forget my parents' teaching. The cross is still there to meet the most basic needs of your life and my life. In the very moment of, it doesn't matter how great your need, how impossible the situation seems to be, Jesus is meet your need. Just reach out right now. Reach out your hand right now and receive your blessing. Christ's beautiful hands. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And to Thomas, behold my hands. That's what he says. He says to, because Thomas was a very hard believer, you know. Thomas was very hard believer. Even when Christ was resurrected, Thomas said, unless I don't see your hands, I will never believe. I don't see your side, I won't believe. I can go further. This is very important. I could recall a story. I can recall a story. And this story is so essential. A little girl, Mother Hans, was badly burnt. She says to the mother, "Mommy, you must always wear a gloves to hide your ugly hands." It was then on the little girl's birthday, the mother has got to bake a cake. When I was writing this story, my niece says it is true because she knows it too. I said, "Well, my niece, you're good." Because not everybody knows this story. My niece sat down there, she knows this story. It's a girl. Mother baked the cake. But one day, she was outside doing a quarrel, a work. She looked inside and she saw smoke. When she went, the house was on fire. She remembered the little girl was in the crib. She went immediately and grabbed the little girl, threw a towel over her, and then her hand was badly burnt. Hello? Her hand was badly burnt. She never told her daughter how her hand was ugly. But he said, "Mommy, wear a gloves to show, to hide you. Then nothing can be hidden from God." And before I go story, and listen, this is true. This is my father, he told us. There was a builder, had a princess ball. And he told the princess ball to do something, and the boy made a mistake. Bang, he killed him. Don't know what was to do with the body. He went to the corner of the building and he messing up, wall up the dead boy in the wall. I got a look. One day, his friend is a drunkard, Pastor. His friend said, "Come, let us have a drink." Yes, he put on his clothes and they went into the bar. They were drinking. He says, "You know, there's nothing can be hidden." He said, "Yes, something can be hidden." They said, "What?" They said, "What can be hidden?" He says, "Oh, I killed my princess boy and put him in the wall." They said, "Sure." They went and they dug the wall and saw the cement, the boy messed up in the wall. They hung him. There's nothing can be hidden from God and that is sound this morning. Everything that we have done in secret, it revealed unto babes and suckling. So we got to watch diligently. You know not the minute when he appeared. And the little girl's birthday, her mother had a party for her. Invited all her friends, in the here. Big people too, for the little girl's birthday. When the mother taking the cake, she forgot what to put on her gloves. The little girl saw the mother's hands and she was in a mess, run into a bedroom. The mother walked into the bedroom and saw a little girl sobbing. "Oh, mommy, you makes me so embarrassed. I never be able to see my friends again." The mother says, "Let me tell you the story of my scared hands. When you were a little girl, I was outside the door working. I saw fire from the house. I ran into the bedroom, took a blanket, but my hand was badly burnt to save your life." The little girl took the handkerchief, wiped her eyes, wiped her mother's eyes. "Oh, mommy, you have very beautiful hand, beautiful body." Hello?
Yes.
Are you with me? Beautiful hands, beautiful body. Jesus Christ's hand was carried. Hallelujah. This carried hands of Jesus Christ is stretched out right now. That if you believe, no matter what your needs are, God's carry hands will supply your needs.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus carried hands. It was badly bruised. Jesus, when you look into his palm, it split. Because those big nails and those pierced his hair. As he stretched it out, he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." I am not afraid to tell you this story. That carry hands is there to meet your needs and my needs this morning.
Yes.
I am praying to you that to wipe this tear from our mother's eyes and say, "Oh, mommy, you have hands, beautiful hands and body in the whole world." To think one moment about the hand of Jesus. Large nails were driven into his hands. Those hands of Jesus, the nail-pierced hands of Jesus, as carried hands. But they are beautiful hands. They are beautiful because they were carried to save your life and my life and my soul. Are you with me?
Yes.
These carried hands, these pierced hands, is outstretched right now. That if you believe, it will meet your need. Jesus died nailed to the cross so that you and I can be forgiven of sin, heal our disease, receive eternal life. His carried hands let you know that God is for that. He will make us whole spiritually, physically, and in every way. I want you to see the hands of drug was once wounded, touching people, releasing God's delivering prayer. See them as they reach out to us right now, ready to forgive us. Blessing. Meet your blessing at this moment. Remember the scared hands. Stretch out to meet our needs. This morning, Jesus nailed cross said that you and I can be forgiven our sin, heal our diseases, receive eternal life. His carried hands let you know that God is for you, that it will make us whole spiritually, physically, and in every way. I want you to know, to see the hands that were once wounded, touching people, releasing God's delivering power. See them as they reach out right now to us, right now. If you believe, would you stand with me, please? Would you stand if you believe? I'm going to read this passage. Jesus died nailed to the cross so that you and I can be forgiven of sin. Heal our disease. Receive eternal life. His carried hands let you and I know that God is for you, that he will make us whole spiritually, physically, and in every way. I want you to see the hands that was once wounded, touching people right now, releasing God's delivering power. See them as they reach out to us right now,
yes,
ready to give us,
yes,
blessing at this very moment.
Yes.
In conclusion, Christ died, went abroad doing good, healing the sick and oppressed, casting out demons and devils over it. There is healing for you and me right now.
Yes.
Healing hands of Jesus is outstretched right now for you and me. The hand of Jesus once was carried is still reaching out to you.
Yes.
Right now. Right at this moment. Receive your blessing. Amen. Dear God, as we come to the end of your service, we know that we are to keep your Sabbath holy as you are holy. Mm-hmm. Help us, Lord, that when we go home, you don't have to turn on your television. You take up your Bible in your hand. Say, Lord, I went to your church today. I obedient to your calling. Those of us that in this church, not a Seventh-day Adventist, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look into his smiling face.
Yes.
For the things that this world soon pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Where shall we spend, Lord, our long eternity? Our long eternity is just around the corner. And if you put your trust and confidence in Jesus, the Son of the Living Messiah, is just around the corner,
mm-hmm,
to take you and I out of trouble.
Yes.
I pray this prayer for my niece. I pray night and day because she has got to drive ups and down. I pray God to keep her from sleeping behind the wheel, drive the car, keep her safely home, backward and forward. I pray every day for my family. I never have seen such lovely generation. I have seen my last generation. And that's what the Bible says. Not because I am whole now. But it says I not to beg bread. That's the position I hold today. Jesus carried hands. Supply all my needs according to his riches in glory.
Amen.
Amen.